The cold snap of January 2026 brought a different kind of silence to the sprawling pines of the Apalachicola National Forest. It was a morning where the frost clung to the palmettos, and the air felt brittle, carrying a tension that local law enforcement had not felt in years. I recall the way the sunlight struggled to pierce through the dense canopy as the first forensic units began to secure a perimeter near a public range deep within the woods. There was no chatter on the radios, only the steady, rhythmic crunch of boots on the damp forest floor, as investigators moved toward a discovery that would soon link three separate crime scenes across state lines. At that early stage, we were looking at a series of isolated tragedies, but the methodical nature of the scene suggested a single, predatory hand at work. The initial discovery was a woman, left where the civilization of Tallahassee ends and the wilderness begins. And it was her presence that acted as the first grim marker in a rapidly unfolding multi-state investigation. There were no names on the incident report yet, only the physical reality of a life ended by a gunshot, and the quiet, heavy realization that the person responsible was moving through the back roads of the South with a purpose that was as focused as it was deadly. The chronological reconstruction of the spree began with a 54-year-old man named Flay Rawlins, whose path of violence appeared to ignite over a frantic 24 to 48-hour window. We tracked his movements, starting from a residence on Bethel-by-the-Lake Drive in Tallahassee, where the first victim, Sheena Devon Kennan, was discovered shot to death. As the Leon County Sheriff's Office processed that initial scene, a separate investigation was already mounting 60 miles to the north in Valdosta, Georgia. On January 16th, deputies in Lowndes County were dispatched to a remote stretch of Skipper Bridge Road, where they found Walter Bo Pettiford, a co-worker of the suspect, dead from a gunshot wound. The overlap in ballistics and the suspect's personal ties to both locations created a high-priority cross-border pursuit. Rawlins was eventually located in Tallahassee. Through a coordinated effort between the Tallahassee Police Department, the Leon County Sheriff's Office, and the United States Marshals Service, upon his arrest, the scope of the investigation widened significantly when Rawlins provided information that led authorities back into the Apalachicola National Forest. There, investigators recovered the body of a second woman, Otika Williams, who had been shot near a public shooting range. The investigation revealed that Rawlins was out on bond for an unrelated attempted murder charge involving a box cutter at the time the spree occurred. His history was marked by previous incarcerations and a pattern of domestic violence that investigators now had to map against the sudden timeline of these three homicides. The technical evidence gathered from the various scenes provided a forensic map of the carnage Rawlins left in his wake. During the processing of the vehicle and the primary recovery sites, we located ballistic signatures that directly linked the weapons in Rawlins' possession to the casings found in both Florida and Georgia. The autopsy reports provided a deeper level of forensic detail, confirming that all three victims died from gunshot wounds inflicted at close range. A critical piece of evidence emerged from the medical examiner's office, which revealed that one of the victims, Otika Williams, was pregnant at the time of her death. This discovery fundamentally shifted the legal weight of the case, as it opened the door for additional homicide charges related to the unborn child. Investigators meticulously documented the physical remnants of the spree, including the ammunition Rawlins, reportedly purchased shortly after the first murders. The digital and physical paper trail allowed the team to pin his location to within tight windows of time, creating an irrefutable timeline of his travel between Tallahassee and Valdosta. Every latent fingerprint lifted from the evidence and every shell casing recovered from the red clay of Lowndes County served to solidify the chain of custody. The forensic team worked under intense pressure, knowing that Rawlins had already been released on a $10,000 bond for a previous violent offense just months prior. This background served as a backdrop for the technical investigation, highlighting the urgency of ensuring the evidence was handled with absolute precision to prevent any procedural errors during the upcoming trial. The legal finality for Flay Rawlins began at the Leon County Detention Facility, where he was held on multiple counts of first-degree murder and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Following his capture, he faced three counts of murder, with prosecutors weighing a fourth charge due to the pregnancy of one of the victims. During the initial court appearances, the state attorney highlighted Rollins' extensive criminal history, which dated back to the 1990s and included 7 prior stints in state prison for offenses such as aggravated assault and attempted manslaughter. The case stirred significant public debate regarding the bond system, as Rollins had been free on a low bond for an attempted murder trial scheduled for later that year when the spree took place. Legal records confirm that Rollins admitted to the Tallahassee homicides while in custody, providing the specific locations that allowed for the recovery of the final victim. As of early 2026, he remains behind bars without bond as the judicial process moves forward across both state jurisdictions. The families of the victims, including the children of Otica Williams and the relatives of Walter Pettiford, have remained vocal throughout the proceedings, seeking justice for the sudden loss of their loved ones. The investigation is officially classified as active and ongoing, with authorities continuing to review his past actions for any further connections to unresolved cases in the region. The outcome of the 2026 spree has left a permanent mark on the coordination between Florida and Georgia law enforcement, serving as a stark reminder of the challenges posed by domestic violence and the movement of violent offenders across state lines.